Today, we'll be talking to Alfredo's ensemble here on Faith in Fine Print, so stay tuned. Hey everyone, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to another episode of Faith in Fine Print. This is your host, Nihal Khan. Today we are going to be talking about the arts, the Islamic arts, and specifically what does a immersion between the Eastern and Western worlds look like, wherein we talk about our cultures, we talk about our faith at the intersection of artistic expression, at the intersection of singing, at the intersection of expressing ourselves in a way where we signify our culture and our faith. So today we're going to be talking to Ali Keeler. And many of you may or may not be familiar with him, but you've definitely seen him and you've most definitely heard him. If not by chance, then you've definitely heard him in passing. Ali Keeler is the head of the Alfredos Ensemble Group that many of you may have heard of. You've heard their nasheeds, you've heard their songs, you've heard a lot of the work that they've done. Today we're going to be talking to them about their work. We're going to be talking to them about the formation of Alfredos Ensemble, and we're also going to be talking to them about their approach to producing Islamically holistic music for the community, for artistic expression. We'll be talking to them about also their new album titled Shifa. And today, Brother Ali is with us, as well as Brother Omar, alhamdulillah. And we'll be having a conversation about the beautiful, beautiful work that Alfredos Ensemble has produced. Allah, 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 ma lana mawlan siwa Allah. Allah, 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 ma lana mawlan siwa Allah. كلما ناديت ياه قال يا عبدي أنا الله كلما ناديت ياه قال يا عبدي أنا الله. السلام عليكم Brother Ali.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing?
Very well. Very happy to be here with you.
Alhamdulillah. And you've been in Turkey now for a couple of days?
More.
It's been
like almost 10 days now.
Wow. SubhanAllah. Between Istanbul, between Konya.
Yeah.
Right. And you all were part of just a group recently, right? What were you doing out in Konya?
In Konya, we were with Baraka Blue, and we had a retreat with about 30 people. We were doing a few workshops, some musical dhikrs, and studying the poetry of Rumi with Baraka Blue. It was very inspiring.
MashaAllah.
And of course, visiting all the amazing places there, blessed, holy places here.
Now, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but what was your most, you know, remarkable memory of that, of this trip that you just took to Konya?
It's a difficult one, but... In Shamsuddin Tabrizi's maqam, this amazing meeting between Shams and Mevlana. We had this beautiful dhikr, and the local people were joining us, and the guardian of the maqam brought us tea, and it was just an incredible meeting of souls and very spontaneous as well. Yeah, that was a good memory.
Yeah, even, you know, this was my first time in Konya as well, having been there. We had a very quick trip, but you know, one thing that people forget, right, is that, you know, and I guess this can maybe segue into what we're going to talk about, but with Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi, right, Al-Balkhi, Al-Hanafi, that he was a scholar that literally took these ideas of Islamic law, these ideas of theology, this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and basically put it into poetry, right? He put it into this beautiful understanding, this beautiful expression of his era, where people who were connected to the faith and were not connected to the faith, people who may have found themselves to be struggling in their practice of faith, and those who may have had a high level of faith, everyone related to him because of that artistic expression. You know, and that's something that I think a lot of folks forget. If we think about it, he may have been a scholar in one degree, but at the same time, he was expressing himself artistically to an extent.
You know? Yeah, and it's interesting that this great artistic outpouring happened after the meeting with Shems.
Yeah.
You know, he ignited something in him, and he had to become, as it were, empty of his previous knowledge. Mm-hmm. Not that he left that knowledge, but he had to, like...
A reintrospection.
Yes, so kind of renewal.
Yeah, and it's actually, if you think about it, whether it was Ghazali, right, where mm-hmm. you do a double take as to what do I actually believe and how is it benefiting others, right? Mm. And I think that's where like Ghazali and Jalaluddin Rumi, yeah. you know, they kind of went through the same thing. Imam al-Shafi'i, right? Mm-hmm. Right, you have his fiqh from before and then his fiqh from after, right? Mm. Where people go through awakenings and they go through openings and life kind of makes them, you know, reobserve what it is that they believe and makes them re-examine who they are and try to understand and conclude that, is this what I'm working my life towards? But segueing into Al-Firdaus Ensemble, what's the story with Al-Firdaus Ensemble?
Firdaus happens in Granada. Actually happens, I actually gave up music. You know, I went through a stage of, you know, giving up music. This was haram, you know, and I had to give it up. So I was starting to become a classical violinist. You know, I came in confrontation with the community. I said this is wrong, you know. So then I traveled to Damascus, came back to music through the voice, through the recitation of the Quran, and through learning the songs in the Zawiyas and just picking it up by ear. No? My experience of music, my classical experience of music, had been only reading what's on the pages. I kind of rediscovered another kind of music, although of course I have been exposed to different kinds of music from an early age through the ear, no? So by ear, learning these songs. And then I tried to adapt them to the violin. So I started playing these tunes on the violin. So that's, and then after returning to Spain, I met other Muslim musicians who were also wanting to express their faith through music as well. And that's how it happened. And then... It's a long story, but how the present formation, because musicians came into the group gradually, and the interesting thing was that the Moroccan, so we have the Spanish, we have Moroccan, and myself English, so we have all these different influences. Obviously, I brought these Syrian songs with me from Damascus. I kind of inherited that, and then I had the Celtic and the classical, my classical background as well, and then the other musicians. We have Salma, who was kind of from the beginning. Salma, so she's a Spanish cellist, and she was studying in. She's not from Granada, but she was studying in Granada at the Conservatoire. So, and she came to Islam through music. She learnt the oud. So I think she was a new Muslim when we met. And then we have our Moroccan musicians, Yusuf al-Mazghildi, he's the Qanun master in our group. And we have Sidi Omar bin Lemli. They came different reasons. Omar came to study in Granada, and he studied there. Yusuf came to Granada performing as an artist because there's this new interest in the old Andalusian, traditional Andalusian music, which continued in Morocco. So this has been going for many years, since Franco, you know, after Franco, when things started opening up.
Sorry, what's Franco?
Franco is the dictator who ruled Spain.
Oh, okay.
You know, up until the 70s, you know, quite repressive. So things started opening up for the good and the bad. But one of the good things was that there was this kind of new resurgence of interest in the Islamic past, and so you get these Moroccan musicians coming, and suddenly also the local council is you know putting money into events, festivals as well, and also the whole relationship with flamenco and Andalusian music, which goes back also perhaps 50, more than 50 years, it goes in terms of actually directly flamenco musicians from Spain collaborating with Moroccan musicians. Granada is a real crossroads of many traditions. It always has been. It's unique. Yeah.
That's amazing. Growing up for yourself, you said that you were a violinist, and you were somebody that was also had learned to recite the Quran beautifully. When it comes to kind of what it is that you are able to put together, the group you're able to bring together, what were some of the, or who rather, were some of your artistic heroes that you kind of found a lot, that you really much so reverberated with, you found a home with, you found a sense of meaning with?
In terms of Islamic or mixed? No,
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. When I was growing up as a violinist, my heroes were the great, you know, virtuoso violinists, Nathan Milstein, Yehudi Menuhin, these great. And I used to go to concerts, you know, my dad used to take me to concerts from a young age. I used to get their autographs. And so very much my heroes were from that, the classical tradition, and also the great composers, especially Bach. And Bach is also...
Like John Bach.
Johann Sebastian Bach.
Well, yeah, I guess in America they could just call
it John Bach. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, John Bach. Because the jazz musicians love Bach as well. But and his music is deeply spiritual. So that always moved me. And not just Bach, and other composers. And of course, later on, I listened to, you know, a lot of different kinds of music, and the great recitals of the Quran, which really inspired me. My father had an amazing collection of records and of the great reciters, you know. Sheikh Mahmoud Khalil al-Husari, I used to listen to a lot. Of course, Sheikh Abdul Basit al-Samad and others, you know. So these, from an early age, I would listen to these. Before even I was practicing Islam or interested in, you know, Islam, just I was listening to Andalusian music. He had a, you know, traditional Andalusian music. So I had, you know, these different, and Indian music. This is very important. My father came to Islam through a master sitarist from Delhi, Ustad Mahmud Mirza, and he became a friend of the family. He taught my mother how to cook curry, so I was eating curry from a very early age. And I was listening, I was going to concerts.
What's your spice level?
It's pretty good. Yeah, for Vindaloo, you know, always Vindaloo. They call them Vindaloos, but this is a, yeah, so I enjoy a spicy curry. But so from an early age, I was being taken to these concerts of Indian music and actually experiencing that. This amazing, the journey of the raga, which is a modal music. So although I was trained to become a classical musician, I had a window onto a completely different tradition, which was in a sense living, because it's improvised. The music has been created in the present. I remember the first day I tried to improvise, you know, it's kind of incredibly liberating experience, you know. After, you know, you're kind of imprisoned in the notes and suddenly you venture, so you try to improvise. And of course it's an art, you know, you have to learn the maqams. And
I want to actually talk to you about the first song that we played, the Celtic Salawat. What went into bringing that to life? Like, I'm leaving it very open-ended because it seems there's a lot of emotion behind it, obviously. And I think a lot of people try to merge between styles and they are not always successful. What goes into making a bumpy road that people are just used to driving on it being bumpy, but you find a way to really flatten it out, smooth it out, and make the ride easy?
It's an interesting question. I actually don't remember. The thing about Celtic Salawat, it's a combination of an introduction, which returns at the end, which is a simple composition melody, which I don't actually remember composing. I did compose it once upon a time, but it's just quite a long time ago.
I know this was in 2015 you guys came up with it, or 2014, something like that. But yeah.
Even before that, but the actual the composition went.
Where did the spark start from? I guess that's the question.
So first of all, I had these melodies that I'd learned on the violin, you know, which now we have three songs from those melodies, Salawat songs. One on the first album, one on the second, and on the new album, there's actually more than one Celtic tune. But in terms of these tunes that I learned on fiddle tunes, because they call, you know, in Irish music, Celtic music, they call, or Gaelic music, they call the violin, the fiddle is played in a different way. So once a very close friend of mine, he gave me a book from a long time ago. Among the sheet music I had, there was a book of folk tunes. After kind of giving up this, you know, the idea of becoming a classical professional violinist, so I started dabbling in different kinds of music, and that was one kind. And always, so I used to play these folk tunes, and they're completely accessible for everyone. So I had classical music that you need to be kind of initiated into it. So if you play a Celtic tune, and everyone can enjoy it from whatever culture.
قد كفاني علم ربي من سؤالي واختياري قد كفاني علم ربي من سؤالي واختياري فدعائي وابتهالي شاهد لي بافتقاري فدعائي وابتهالي شاهد لي بافتقاري الله 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 ما لنا مولى سوى
So that was from a new song on the new album called The Call. Tell us about this, right? At the beginning, we played Celtic Salawat. Okay, so there's a Celtic element. You have another famous one called Mada Morisco, talking about, you know, Spain and what happened. And now, you know, what we listen to specifically here, we hear Arabic Salawat, right, about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there is an element of diversity that you can sense in every single song. You have something from someone from somewhere different with a different experience and a different tone and a different cultural output. Mm. These different pieces, what does it bring to Alfredo's ensemble?
So we take, this is a beautiful tune in Maqam Kurd. That,
that's very similar to Maqam Nahawand, right?
It's similar, but it's different. You know? Mm. And Kurd is used in flamenco as well. So in fact, this song is opened with a flamenco solo. And then we have the kanun coming in, and then so there's this meeting of these different instruments from different cultures. We're giving a retreatment of a traditional melody that's been sung, you know, before and many times, but with this also these strings, classical strings coming in there with harmony, and so it's giving this it's enriching that beautiful melody. And the call, it's a call on Allah, no? It's the, you know, when you call on Allah, he's there, he's waiting for us. And Ya Abdi, an Allah.
Yeah?
أَنْتَ تَعْلَمْ كَيْفَ حَالِي. You know my state, right? Mm. We're beseeching God. We're asking Allah to help us. But, you know, and that's the beauty of it, right? Somebody may enter a room where you all are playing and they may be enriched and they may feel engulfed by the words and the sounds and everything. But, and I think this is the issue today, right? When somebody's listening to like regular music or something on the radio, is there actual meaning behind it? Is there anything that their hearts can relate to? This is 2022. Mm-mm. And you're providing an outlet to people that, hey, there is something for you to listen to. There is something that can enrich your heart. There is something that can make your mind ponder. And it doesn't have to just be in one language. It doesn't have to be just on one tune. But with all the different people that you're bringing together, East and West and whatnot, it's bringing about a new composite. It's bringing about something that is brand new. And that's the beauty of life, that even if you think about ourselves when we're born, our mother and our father are different. But then there's an element of my mother, there's an element of my father in me, but there's nothing beholdening to me to be just like my mother or just like my father. But just as I am as much as them and they are as much as me, there is still an individual sense there. The individual cannot be free of the entirety, right? It's still a part of it, even though it's an individual.
And that's the secret of the uniqueness of the Firdaus. No? It's got each member of Firdaus ensemble brings a unique touch, their musical experience and talent, and together it produces harmonious, powerful expression. And this is a metaphor for the Ummah, for any community. We have to work together, and each person giving their strongest, what they're good at, and offering that, and then together they produce something which is complete. We complete each other. So a musical band or a football team as well is a metaphor of this, you know. So it's not the individuals, actually, it's the group, the team. It's good. So here it's kind of Celtic, no? It's like and even Oriental, you know. So you can see how in one song, which is like a traditional Syrian melody, you can join these different styles, and it can be harmonious, doesn't it? And I just want to mention something that's because the music is rich, it means that you don't have to understand the words. You can enjoy the music, and you can be moved even without understanding the words.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, and we have this, you know, with our audiences, which are, you know, from different backgrounds, religions, but they're moved by the music.
So that's a sample from this new song called Salawatun Tayyibatun. In this song, Brother Ali, you have a mixture of different sounds that we just heard, right? We heard Celtic, we heard other sounds as well. And in this new album, you guys titled it Shifa, right? Which means a cure. What's exactly the intent of this album? What's going to make this album different than the coming album or the previous albums that you've had?
Well, this song is very different from anything we've ever done before. It has this, the Celtic, which we've done. It's a little bit upbeat rhythmically. But then we have this collaboration with Isam B. He used to be with Outlandish. And he sings a voiceover over the Salawat. Kind of blues style, gospel maybe. And then we have this Sudanese song come in. And you see how the Celtic and the Sudanese connect. And at the end of, it's nice, we also have some children's voices as well. Because we want to encourage children to sing. It's very important that they're inspired by this music and take up the tradition. And then at the end, everything comes together. We also have a reggae beat coming in at the end as well. So we're hoping to attract, it wasn't kind of intentional, but I think this song will appeal to maybe a younger audience, a wider audience than maybe we've reached out to in the past.
Well, why Shifa? What's the significance of Shifa here?
So these, in this particular song, these tunes, these joyful Celtic tunes, African tunes, they're tunes from they're simple melodies. They're connected to folk music. Folk music is the music of the earth, and it's healing because we're connecting back to the earth, the sounds of people who were more in tune with nature. You know, this is especially in our time, our modern age, in which we become so divorced from the natural rhythms, from nature. But of course, in our album, different aspects of Shifa are manifested in other songs.
We're all in a state of needing some sense of healing, right? We're all in a state where we're looking for finding ourselves in a difficult place where we want to find that thing which provides the solace that our hearts need. In producing this album, what were some of the main things that were there goals that you all had in mind that like this album should be able to accomplish X, Y, and Z that we weren't able to do before? It's a bit of an open-ended question. Obviously, art is art, right? Art is not sitting there to be completely objective towards one thing, but like there's a general premise, right? That when you're creating something new, there is something you want to add that maybe wasn't there before. Was there anything like that?
There was. I mean, the initial inspiration for the album was how music was used traditionally in the Bimaristans all over the Muslim world to treat people in beautiful courtyards, with the sound of water, with plants, fragrant plants, and the birds. You know, this environment was there to help patients regain their balance. And there was a knowledge of the different maqams, how they affected people in different ways. So we wanted to include all the maqams, the main maqams on this album. That is very difficult, you know, to have so many songs in different maqams. So we decided that we'd have one song which included all the maqams. So we have Asma al-Husna. The Asma al-Husna, and this is a journey through the seven maqams, through the Asma al-Husna, which are healing. I mean, one of the most beautiful ways of dhikr, of calling on Allah, and those qualities. So that was definitely an important aspect of that we wanted to include in the album. But we didn't know how many songs were going to be. We also have the Quranic recitation, which contains the verse of Shifa, and we have a song called Shifa as well.
So I see what you were talking about, the different mixes that are occurring in this song, from the kids to the different styles. But now understanding what we had just spoken about, right? Like you said, that people were sick at a certain time period, right? When we were talking about the Bimaristans, we were talking about people needing sanatoriums to heal. With this album being called Shifa, I guess that's the main way that you're going with this, is that you want to provide people. And not only that, like you mentioned, we are internationally speaking coming out of the pandemic and COVID and the lockdown and everything. I guess people have something new and fresh to look forward to in that sense.
I think we're all in need of Shifa. I mean, the pandemic in one way was a temporary Shifa for the planet. I mean, suddenly the machine of capitalism and consumerism was was for a time stopped, you know. So we need to connect more with nature for healing, and to ourselves, of course, to our hearts, and we hope that this music will connect people with their hearts. And we have a song which is called Shifa. And in this song, we can actually hear the heartbeat. And it's salawat also. And it contains the dua of the Prophet ﷺ for healing, sung beautifully by Sidi Omar, who also composed a melody. So this is one of the last should we say, tracks on our CD. And it's also quite experimental. We've never done anything like this before, so maybe we can hear a bit of it.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad An-Nabi al-Ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim.
So that's a sample from their song Shifa, Al-Firdaus Ensemble's upcoming album. So Brother Ali, two things. Number one, when can people expect to hear this album? And number two, where can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so the album from 7th of October, it will be on all the digital platforms. And people can get in touch with us through our website, through the email on our website, yeah, or via Facebook. It's easy to contact us. Instagram as well, yeah.
And if you're these days, if people are listening to this, actually the album may already be out.
Yeah. So, we're already touring. We've had our first tour with Shifa in the UK.
Okay.
And we had a great response, and we're planning a US tour as well in February. And so, yeah, looking forward to presenting.
Inshallah. Well, everyone, this has been another episode of Faith in Fine Print. This is your host, Nihal Khan. And inshallah, we will see you all again very soon. And we'll end off with a ending clip of that song we just played from the album, Shifa. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad An-Nabi al-Ummi.